today, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Will you turn your Bible with me to 1 Timothy? Chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to be reading a couple of verses. I'm grateful that you watch the television broadcast, and I'd love to hear from you. If doesn't make any difference if it's a blessing to you, or if you get angry and mad at me and whatever, I'd still be glad to hear. If you have any contradiction for the things that I have to say, write to me. I'd be glad to hear from you. Today I want to talk to you about eternal life. The term eternal is mentioned in the New Testament something like 40 times. It doesn't always refer to life. Sometimes it refers to glory, sometimes other things. But the point being that it's like time without end, ages without end, and on, everlasting life. People go to the Greek sometimes and they try to make them all different, but I'm unconcerned about that. And the thing that I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about eternal life. In fact, I could ask you up front, do you know that you have eternal life? Now, you see, the question is not a trap. It's not a trick question. You either have eternal life right now as a believer, or else you're lost and you're bound for eternal destruction. Now, you can, if you don't have eternal life right now, then you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and claim eternal life, knowing that it is yours in Christ. Now, there are basically two ways that I want to refer to pertaining to an individual getting eternal life in the New Testament. Two ways. Now, it doesn't make any difference to me if you find a dozen ways. I don't care about that. There are two ways that I want to refer to here, not necessarily this morning, but as we go along, two ways to have eternal life for those that are referred to in the New Testament. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, would you read with me from verse 12? 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul said, I thank Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them, which should you have to believe on him, to life everlasting. Now that's a strange statement to make in view of the teaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As our chart usually, I'll put on the board and I'll say, okay, this is a reference to the time of the baptism of Jesus Christ. His crucifixion is in here. Therefore, in here would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of John. Now, the teaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is evident to the Bible, and therefore the question arises, if Paul the Apostle, or Saul as the case might be, turned out to be a pattern to them who would after that believe on Jesus Christ under everlasting life, why would anybody in his right mind go back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to find the pattern for eternal life? Why would you listen to my voice? If you want eternal life, if you want to live forever in peace and harmony, live in God's kingdom, be perfect in Christ and so forth, if that would be your desire, why, in view of the passage, remembering that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul was given the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles, Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God to the Gentiles, all these things being true, If Paul, in his salvation, the things that happened to him in his salvation, is a pattern to those who after him would believe on him, on the Lord, the eternal life, if that be the case, why would you go back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John seeking to find the pattern for life back there? Why would anybody in his right mind turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and tell people to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, believing that in doing so there was some possibility under some circumstances that if you did certain things exactly right, kept the commandments, endured to the end and on and on, then possibly at some time you might have eternal life. Isn't that ridiculous? The people that I know anything about today, maybe you know some that are different, but the people that I know anything about that teach Acts chapter 2 verse 38 as the means of salvation never know that they're saved. They never have eternal life so that they can tell you, I'm absolutely positive and there's no doubt about it that I've got eternal life right now. They hope they do. They hope that under certain circumstances that they will have kept the commandments perfectly, they will have done everything they ought to do, and that they will be in the right frame right now and so forth, and that maybe God just somehow won't say unto them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Maybe instead he'll say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. Well, all that's ridiculous. There isn't anyone listening to me that has to have that kind of situation in your life. You can have eternal life and know that you've got it and never doubt it. Know that if you die today that you'll go to be with the Lord. Know that if the rapture comes today or tomorrow or the next day that your vile body will be changed and you will be made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ and on. You can know that. Not hope so, not maybe so, not think so, not if I do this, that, or the other, then it'll be. No, you can have that by trusting Jesus Christ. You can have that by committing your salvation to Him. Turn your salvation over to Him and quit trying and start trusting. Now, eternal life. Now, there are two ways here to have eternal life. Not to you necessarily, but two ways in the Scripture here. Go back in your Bible, please, to Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now that's a good question. That's a good solid question. If you were asked that question by someone, what would you tell them? Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. You know, if what Jesus Christ said is true there, and there's no reason to doubt it, but if what he said is true, then the priest, the high priest at that time, the Levites, the workers in the temple and whatever that offered the sacrifices, those that brought their sacrifices, and so forth, no one was good. But then who believes the Bible? Look at it again. Verse 17, he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Say, is that saying that Jesus Christ is not good? No, that's saying that he's God. Hold on the passage and turn, please, to Romans. I look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 9. Romans 3, verse 9. What then are we, and he's referring to himself as a Jew, along with other Jews, are we better than they? And that's a reference to the Gentiles. No, in no wise, for we before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You ever think about that? You ever think about that the law was given in 1500 B.C.? Think about it. 1,500 years back here from the giving of the law by Moses. And during that 1,500 years, they had the tabernacle in the wilderness, later on the temple. They sacrificed bulls, lambs, rams, and so forth. They sacrificed all these animals. There's the priesthood in the glory. There's the high priest going into the behind the veil, offering the blood for his sins and for the sins of the people. And on, all this, the keeping of the commandments, all this for 1,500 years. And Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, said to a man in Matthew 19, "There is none good but God." And there's some of you that you probably think you're good. You probably try to psych yourself out to believe that you're good, and therefore the works you do are good, and therefore God would have to accept you sometime based upon those things, when the Scripture said, not so. There aren't any. Think about it. Look in the passage again. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one." Are you telling me that after 1,500 years of keeping the commandments, there was none righteous? And there's some of you that believe if you keep the commandments, God will count you righteous? Isn't that a little bit on the ridiculous side, wouldn't you say? I mean, after all, the priests back there kept the commandments, didn't they? And if they didn't keep the commandments, they offered the blood sacrifices, and on and on and on. And yet, there is none righteous, no, not one. And some of you go to an assembly somewhere, you go to a denominational church somewhere, you have some crazy preacher telling you that if you'll keep the commandments, you can go to heaven. Somebody pulling your leg. Say, who do you think you are? Well, I'm nobody. But this book is everything. There's none righteous. Go to verse 11. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. People say, well, I sought God in an old-fashioned altar. No. Well, I guess I did. Well, I don't guess you did. God said you didn't. God said there is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Oh, me. There's not only none that are good, there's none that doeth good. Say, well, I'm keeping the commandments. No, you aren't keeping the commandments. The passage said there's none that doeth good. If you kept the commandments, that'd be good. You'd be righteous, but you don't keep the commandments. How do I know this? Because you're not righteous and you're not good. How do I know? Because God said it. Back in the passage, verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have been unknown. There are people today that claim that they've got peace and they don't have any. Verse 18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Then what the law given for? To shut your mouth. The law was given to shut you up and stop you from boasting and bragging that you're right in God's eyes because you keep the commandments and do the will of God in His sight. That's what it's about. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Therefore, if you are under the law and you're claiming that you're going to get eternal life and salvation by the law, you're under a curse. Therefore, you ought to just shut up. Just quit telling people all that stuff. Just quit running off. Just stop right where you are. Stop in your tracks right now and say, the truth of the matter is, I'm a vile sinner. I'm no more than a worm in God's eyes and deserving of absolutely nothing good because I don't do any good and I'm not good and I'm bad to the core. Look in chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, thou shalt no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, what's the law given for? To give you knowledge of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. What does the law say? Well, the law says that thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, thou shalt make no image unto thyself of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down to them. Thou shalt not worship them. And on. You listening? Read it in Exodus chapter 20. Go ahead. Turn there in your Bible and read the thing. How many people do you know of today that have images that they say are images of that which is in heaven? You ever go into a church that had an image? They said that's an image of Mary, the mother of God. You ever go into a church in Pensacola, Florida, Mobile, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, around the country? You ever go into one and you watch people come in there and they go up to the front and they bow before a crucifix on a cross up there. They got a so-called dead body hanging on a stick up there. And then there is an image of a woman over there called Mary, and they bow before all this and make the sign of the cross and all and none. You ever see that? Transgression of the law is sin. Therefore, for you to walk into a temple somewhere and get on your knees and bow before an image up there, whether it be an image of Christ, as you're told, or an image of Mary, as you're told, whatever it be, it is sin according to the Scripture. Transgression of the law is sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Read the thing. What does the law say? Make no image of thyself of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath. Don't bow down before them and don't worship them. God will not count you guiltless in doing those things. Say, well, I'm having a hard time trying to gain eternal life. I bet you are. You doing that, you ain't never going to make it. Now, in Matthew chapter 19, notice in verse 17, he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. In other words, the man couldn't get into glory. He couldn't get into eternal life with treasures. Isn't that a riot? Oh, boy. I mean, come on, this man's got wealth, and as long as he's got wealth, he can't have life. Oh, what a curve. And some of you just ducked and turned away from the plate. Oh, boy. Verse 20, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept. What do I lack yet? Okay, you lack something, he said. Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. How about yours? You say, well, I'll sell out mine. You still go to hell. Ain't no way for you outside trusting that Jesus Christ paid for your sins at Calvary. You're boxed in, man. Say, well, I'll just wait till the rapture comes and go into the tribulation, and in the tribulation I'll repent and do works meet for repentance and honor. No. God will send you strong delusion. You'll believe a lie and be damned because you wouldn't trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, while you had the opportunity. You're boxed in. You can be saved. God has provided salvation for you in Christ Jesus. God loved you and gave His Son to die for you on Calvary. And God has sent somebody to preach the gospel unto you. The fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and said unto you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you instead believe some nut somewhere who's trying to convince you that if you'll repent and be baptized and keep the commandments and do thus and thus and thus, then you can have eternal life. No, you can't have it like that. God didn't tell you to do the things that He told this rich man here. If Paul is the pattern for those that would believe on him afterward, then bless God, this in Matthew chapter 19 is not the pattern to you. It won't work for you. Back in the passage, verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It implies that there might be some circumstances where the man could, as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned. But look at the other side of the coin, verse 24. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, a man might get into the kingdom of heaven with wealth, but he can't get into the kingdom of God with wealth. It'd be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. And so I realize some nut comes along and he says, okay, the eye of a needle, there's a gate under the wall in Jerusalem, and therefore an old camel went there and he couldn't get through that gate because he had a hump on his back. All sorts of anything but believe the book. You know what he's saying? He's saying that it's easier at that point that he's talking about there for an individual to, for a camel to go through an eye of a needle like a woman holds that needle up like that. It's got a tiny little eye there, and she takes a piece of thread and she puts it through the eye of that needle. Well, it's easier, as Jesus Christ said, for a big old smelly camel to go through the eye of that needle than for that rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Hold the passage and turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Flesh and blood won't make it into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to put over here and I'm going to say, this right here represents the grave. What Jesus Christ is really saying there is that the grave represents the eye of the needle. Those that got eternal life back there had to have it in resurrection. They had to go through the grave to get it. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. They couldn't carry wealth in there. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the cross represents absolute self-denial. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Like in the tribulation over here, a man might save his life by taking the mark of the beast, but if he does that, then he'd lose his life. Verse 24, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, if a man did not recant, if a man believed in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Jesus Christ was crucified by wicked hands, as Peter said in Acts chapter 3, Acts 2 and 3, and was crucified and raised from the dead, and he said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. All right, they did. They followed him in baptism and whatever. And this man endured. He didn't recant. He didn't deny the Lord until he died. All right, he would die and go into the grave, and then he'd be resurrected unto eternal life over here at the Day of Atonement, the time of atonement for Israel. Back in the passage, verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Turn, please, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation 2, notice in verse 10. Revelation 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's what he said to those there, not you. Look in chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, and in Revelation chapter 12, notice in verse 10, Revelation 12, verse 10, about the middle of the tribulation, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They died to get eternal life. In other words, instead of denying the Lord, taking the mark of the beast, and on, having physical life on this earth, they denied themselves. They denied the Antichrist. They denied the whatever it might be. And they took the rough way out. They were willing to be burned at the stake. They were willing to be eaten by lions. They were willing to have their heads cut off and on, that they might gain eternal life. He that endureth the end, the same shall be saved. Therefore they would die in faith, and then be resurrected unto eternal life. Jesus Christ said about the apostles, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand, on. That is, they would not perish in death. That is, they would be resurrected. They shall not perish, they shall be resurrected, and on. How about you? Well, eternal life is free unto you by receiving Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus Christ endured unto the end where you're concerned. Jesus Christ took your sin upon himself and was judged in your behalf. Jesus Christ put to death for you. Jesus Christ died. Your death was buried and resurrected. Eternal life is in Christ. If you've got Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've got eternal life. The Bible said that you ought not to set your affection on things above, on the earth, but on things above. Why? Because your life is hid with Christ in God, and when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, we'll appear with him in glory. Eternal life is in Christ. Get Christ, and you've got life. How can you have it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was dead, and rose again, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening this morning. Until next time, good day.